late, later than we told you we would be.
I was just waiting when you started off and you said Beth Schaller from the Missouri Department of, and I just thought all these people are going to turn around.
You know, I was really thinking about saying conservation, but I didn't.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I admire the Conservation Department, but I would not have wanted to have been a member this morning without some pre-planning, let's put it that way.
I understand. I was actually had a naughty thought there, but I didn't do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have our own issues every once in a while with communication, so we have learned in the past that that really is the key, and, you know, I'm gathering just from what I heard that that sounds like it's really the main issue with the topic you just covered, was that there was just a lack of public input and a lack of public knowledge, and that always gets you in trouble.
Well, which unfortunately appears from everything that I've been reading was intentional.
Yeah, and that I don't know, but it did sound like there was definitely a lack of communication, and that always gets you in trouble. We know better than that.
So. I'm learning.
Well, we always you take a step back every once in a while. Back to the Department of Transportation. catch you guys up on what's going on the construction side. A little bit actually outside of Taney County, but we've put in some flashers there at A and BB near Saddlebrook to alert the side roads when there's traffic on Highway 65. They're an interactive flasher that's meant to improve safety for areas where we have difficulty with traffic having to cross four lanes, you know, that divided highway scenario. And so those are installed. The company that manufactures the product that should be down to train us on those and inspect them this week, and so I expect they'll probably be up and actually operational by the end of the week. So that's a safety device. We haven't heard anything back from the contractor APAC on the asphalt package in this county, which includes 160, 176, 265, 165. They originally told us back in April or May that they were expecting it to be around August, and we haven't heard anything different from them. So they just haven't given us an update yet. They're working in our district, but it's up towards Springfield and farther north. So the 160 and 125 situation that we've got out in eastern Taney County, Danny asks me about every month, and rightly so. I think we've reached a resolution on that. We kind of batted that one around for a while trying to figure out what the best solution was. Our senior management has determined that we probably pushed the envelope a little too much on what makes design we would accept in asphalt, and we've been trying to push the envelope. I mean, we need to save money. We need to save taxpayer money, so we've been trying to find the most affordable product we can to put down on the roadway and still have it be viable. And unfortunately, the product that we put down on 160 and 125 was not a good product, and we think it was a combination of the makes design that we allowed plus the temperatures and some other factors. So we are going to overlay that again. We just have to find the money to do it. So it's right now it's scheduled for maintenance to maintain it this summer. They will be putting down some type of seal coat to try to keep the pavement as viable as possible. Right now we've got a real dry makes out there and it's wanting to ravel on us. So they're going to put down a seal coat. And then we've got some bids already scheduled for this fall. I think you guys are aware we have a five-year plan, the STIP, the State Transportation Improvement Plan. 3 years of that is always committed. Directly committed, so we basically have to find savings when we bid our asphalt projects this fall. Hopefully we'll have enough money, those bids will come in low enough that we'll have enough savings that we can recycle that into a contract to overlay 160 and possibly portions of 125. We're going to monitor it this summer and see what needs to be overlaid and what looks like it's actually holding up better maybe than we had expected. So we're going to plan for the worst and hope for the best is what it comes down to. But we have to find the money. Hopefully this fall letting will be good. We'll have some additional money available then, and then I would assume we'd probably end up having to let a contract either in late fall or early spring if the savings come in at that point.
So. Any questions about that, Dan, before she moves
no,
on?
No, she covered what I asked for last time. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it's a fluid plan right now. I mean, it really depends on how well it holds up this summer and And you know, if it really looks like it's giving us fits or something, we may have to regroup and you know, take some money out of somewhere else. But right now we're planning on taking savings from bids that come in this fall and then recycling that into a contract that we would let. So hopefully that'll all work out correctly. Other items of note, I talked to our maintenance guys this morning, and we have started our mowing cycle. If you've been out on the roadways this morning, you probably noticed they're already out mowing. They were out on 160 this morning. And they thought they would probably have everything done by the 4th of July. It really depends on the weather and you know, the number of crew people available, but they thought they, if the weather holds, they probably have the majority of the mowing done before July 4th. So everybody watch out for them, because these roads aren't really conducive to us being out there with mowers and slow-moving traffic. So one other item that is... it's transportation related, but it's not sponsored by necessarily by MoDOT. Southwest Missouri Council of Governments is hosting a small communities transportation funding options symposium this Friday. I think it's from 8 to 12. I'm attending it, and I know our chief financial officer Roberta Breaker from Jeff City is going to be there to talk about how funding happens through MoDOT, and then they've got some small communities that have done some partnering and some innovative financing are going to be giving, I think, testimonials and talking about what they've done also. And then I'm not sure the other speakers, but I know we've got a speaker there from MoDOT, and she's very, very knowledgeable and very skilled. So I think it'll be a good presentation.
Did you say where that's going to be?
I think it's at the Chamber of Commerce in Springfield.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
I was looking for it, but I don't see it.
I know that SimCog sent that invitation out, so if you need it, I can forward it to you. I think Diane May sent it out. So. And that was all I had on my list. We're busy, busy, busy. Construction and maintenance are busy right now. So, one other thing, the chip seals. We've got two chip seals scheduled for your county, Route Y and Route O. And the contractor, I would say he's on schedule, maybe even a little bit ahead of schedule, and that's Hutchins Construction out of the Cassville area. They've got Route Y set up for July 16th and Route O set up for July 17th. And barring any unforeseen circumstances, I'd say they'll be on those dates or maybe a couple of days early, because they really have had good weather and they're actually a little bit ahead of schedule.
So. You say why? You're talking about right here across from the courthouse? I know that they've done a lot of prelim work down through there already. But
yeah, they usually go through there and mark for signs, because they'll have no center stripe signs and some other things they'll have to put up. And they probably did some measuring, too, to make sure that they've got the right mileage for, so they'll have the right amount of oil and chip. So. That was it.
You gentlemen have questions?
I've got a couple.
Yeah.
I always do, don't I?
You always do.
As you start off of Mount Branson on 76 Highway, and I know that you took care of a problem that we had there two or three years ago or maybe longer with on the right-hand side where the deep ditch is, it's starting to crack off there again, and the at one time you had pulled some like 6 to 12 back in under the edge. Several citizens contacted me. I had them call the office. You might check that out for us, Beth, and see it's a more dangerous situation than probably what it appears more dangerous than it really is what I should say. But I would like for you to check that out. They call the county commission. Another thing, and we're almost to the past limit on that, and I made mention of it the last time you were here, was your spraying program. The Taney County citizens, and it's not only there, it's Southwest Missouri, have been battling the musk thistle problem. And as farmers and ranchers spray our fields and spray and dig and do everything we can to eradicate the musk thistle problem, they're in the ditch lines. And it doesn't make it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to eradicate our fields when we spend a tremendous amount of money on our spray program, and still yet the ditch lines has, and they can have very limited. You can have a dozen musk thistles and sow an entire field that you just got through spraying. So anything that you've got.
Guess what I did this weekend?
Is that what
hand-picked
you did?
Hand-picked thistles.
Yeah. So if anything that you guys in the MoDOT could help us with on keeping those ditch lines clean. Now, some farmers in some small places have these things that they don't try to work as hard at it as others do. And it's a constant problem. But when we have the fields clean and then we see them in the ditch line, it's something that I would like for you to address maybe with your superiors.
It doesn't give you warm thoughts about MoDOT, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't give me warm thoughts about my neighbor when I look across his fence.
Right, but it's something that you can't that we can't control and you can't control. It's my fear is that these things will get started on these cedar glades and in the timber where I'm already starting to see signs of that, and it's going to be a serious problem. So. That's just a couple of things that I wanted to bring up to you, and like you said, those thistles are already headed out and starting to seed out, and even where they've been sprayed, I don't think they'll mature on out, but they still have the head of the bloom, the purple bloom that everybody knows, and appreciate it if you could give me some kind of a reply back maybe on what maybe their future plans are to try to help, because It's a major problem in southwest Missouri and northern Arkansas.
What if we tried to set up a meeting maybe with you and with Randy to kind of talk about? Because I know you had said you guys had a new spray vehicle.
We have a spray vehicle ourselves that we're going to use.
It might be interesting to discuss the approaches both groups are using, because we obviously have a, just like you guys, we have a budget, so we have some limits there. And we have some manpower limitations, but that doesn't mean we can't address noxious weeds when they're on our right-of-way.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to me.
No, I understand completely. Believe me, when it's 90 degrees out and I'm out plucking heads off thistles and looking across the fence at my neighbors and this is this ocean of purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
So, anything else? Brandon's over there grinning.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
We appreciate you. I had asked that we put Environmental Services Department on the agenda, not for a full discussion, but just to note that I'd like you gentlemen to think about the possibility of combining within our departments, probably under P&Z, where we handle a couple of these issues already. Currently, we're obviously working with and are going to need to monitor the new biosolids project. We do water testing currently with an individual that's in P&Z. We're issuing permits for sewer systems. That's within P&Z. There's been requests that the county look into and see if there's a possibility of education regarding public water needs throughout the county where there are no public water districts. City agreements by and between the county and or sewer district that had been in the past, but it's regarding the county sales tax dollars with the cities and the county, someone to administer that, to oversee it. All that might be rolled into one, not that we have to go back to the drawing board and recreate everything, but just utilize what we have and enhance. Just something to think about is the reason that I put that down. Check approval process. Melanie, could you join us?
Good morning.
We, in discussions in the past, have talked about something that we might put in writing that would be more consistent than what we had been doing. And if I'm not mistaken, you've taken that to task and have drafted.
Yes.
Do you have a copy for us down there?
She sent us all a copy. Is it the same?
I know,
one?
But I didn't. Don't have it with me.
I don't.
Do you want to speak from that? If you're, why don't you, if you will, go through that and let's chat about that. That'd be great. Do you have some?
I think I changed one thing. I'm sorry, I should have made more.
Do you have some general comments before we begin the looking at the document, or?
I don't believe so.
Just so that everyone knows why we're having a loan, we're having some copies made that we can look at, have in front of us. You got it on your?
I was looking for.
Well, when I saw it, I was looking and I didn't find it earlier.
The subject matter that is contained in here, and I'm sure Melanie has, like she said, she's changed it some, but it is to improve the situation where we had questions about checks or invoices or things like that, where a check was made out and then held in the office for a period of time, which sometimes resulted in undue pressure on the treasurer to release that check when it hadn't been approved, or there was some question by the county commission or the treasurer or any other department that has a question about an invoice turned into the county, and we're trying to improve on that system to where we don't hold checks for any extended period of time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
What we have in front of us is a written check approval process. Directly relates to what Commissioner Strahan was just talking about. When a check is not approved by the county commission, the following steps will be followed. A check denied form will be mailed out and submitted to the county treasurer. The original invoice will be returned to the county auditor's office immediately. The county treasurer will notify the elected official or department head that the check was denied and requires further documentation. The elected official or department head will have one week to submit more documentation to the county commission. County treasurer will present the check the following week. No check will be held for more than 10 days. Once check is presented the second time and is not approved, the treasurer will void the check. County treasurer will notify the elected official or department head that said check has been voided per order of the county commission. County treasurer will provide the auditor's office a copy of the voided check. A written request will be provided to the county treasurer for all check approvals.
On number 7, said check has been voided per order. Would it be voided or just be denied?
That was after I actually voided the check to let them know they would need to start the whole process over again.
But we didn't order it to be.
By the second time not approving it, then you're authorizing me to void it.
I guess, but do we have to, in that, would we have to make a motion to actually void the check? Because it says voided per order of, so we just need to make it say check has been denied by a county commission. I wouldn't say voided per order of,
okay,
unless we change how we do it up here and say make a motion to void it.
What about if we state county treasurer will notify the elected official or department head that said check has been voided per check approval process. Does that sound all right?
Okay.
And tell me what number 9 is. A written request will be provided to the treasurer.
Well, each week we have the form that you guys sign. Saying all checks have been approved, and this is just say you're in a Thursday meeting and I'm not don't happen to be listening to it at that time, and you approve a check that maybe we held on Monday, just so I have written order saying okay, you can release that check at this time.
So this is only referring to those that had been held,
right?
So can we add a written request will be provided to the county treasurer for all check approvals that had been previously held? Is that all right?
Yes.
Does that sound good, right?
Motion for approval of the check approval process of June 24th, 2013.
As presented.
And as presented with changes. Changes.
Second. Do we also need to approve the check denied form, or is that just something? That's just so when I contact the elected official or department head, so I can give them the reason as to why, so they'll know what documentation to bring back for them. For number one.
But all that's included in here, isn't it? We're going to provide you with that.
Okay. So as long, is this form okay, though? Is there anything I need to change?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have that form. It's just a notification from her that the check was denied. That's fine.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Motion has been made and seconded to approve the check approval process, which was presented on June 24th, 2013, with changes. Discussion. Let me note that the changes are, we have struck in number 7, order of county commission, it'll say check approval process, and we're going to add to number 9, that had been previously held. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. If you'll represent that, after a while we'll sign that for you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Melanie.
Thank you.
You got your glasses on, Danny?
Yeah.
The accounts payable.
Motion for approval. Accounts payable 3341.72 to 3342.30 and 3342.31 to 3342.38. There's no transfers.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve accounts payable. Checks number 3341.73 through 3342.30 and 3342.31 through 3342.38. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. That's red.
She had a black one with me.
Nikki took it, but she got your signature. Thank you.
Do you have the other one? He's got them, I guess. Huh?
No. Thank you, Melanie. Previous meeting minutes.
Just executive session minutes, aren't they?
Yes.
Motion for approval of executive session minutes, June 10th, 13th, 17th, and 20th.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve executive session minutes dated July 10th, 13th, 17th, and 20th. Discussion?
Ron, you said July.
I'm sorry, June 10th, 13th, 17th, and 20th.
Sorry. I miss my birthday. So.
Did we slip by your birthday?
If you went to July 10th, you did.
The reason I said July 10th is because that's Ron's birthday sitting out there. All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I was right about that date, wasn't I, Mr. Hershey?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. There's a fellow from our church. Venice on the Lake, we're going to have a presentation from HDR regarding Venice on the Lake.
Thank you, sir. Travis is going to run the projector for us. I'm Michael Zimmerman with HDR, and we have Travis Heyer also with HDR, and we have Mike Messina on HDR. Gentlemen, we appreciate being invited back to make a presentation to you all. It's been some, as Mr. Strahan said earlier, it's been a long time since the original presentation of Venice on the Lake was made. There were questions originally about the large scope of the project. There were questions about connections, questions about treatment plant capacity, and things of that nature. And we were, back in 2000, the original original master plan recommended that Venice on the Lake be completed as one of the top priorities. And it remains the top priority that has not been completed from the original 2000 master plan. Now, the updated master plan was completed in 2010. And Venice on the Lake, what they said on Venice on the Lake, this was ranked number 2 on the priority matrix in the district's 2000 master plan. The district is moving forward with this facility planning with this project, and it was removed from the subsequent master plan. This is taken right out of that. So back in 2011, we did make a presentation about the Venice on the Lake project. I'm going to hand out some brief summaries. Which covers specifically what I'm going to talk about. The project has been divided into three options. If you'll go ahead and bounce down to Option 1 includes the entire Venice on the Lake area. From the original study, the number of connections have been reduced drastically. It's back to 378. This includes an area to the northeast, to the west, and also includes grinder pumps for houses and businesses down on Lake Taneycomo. Estimated construction cost is $12 million for this project. Now, the original estimates, gentlemen, if you'll remember, they were lower than this. It was because the sewer district asked us not to include connecting all the individuals. They were going through a period of time where they recognized that those costs were high, and they asked us at that time to look at that without those costs. We have since put those back in for this estimate for consideration. Here's a breakdown of those costs for each option. In general, the alternative number one, as we said, includes the entire area. There was questions about the operation and maintenance costs. If you go to the next slide down. No, stay on alternative. I want to stay on alternative number one. Alternative one, we looked at having what was going to happen to operation and maintenance costs if everybody were to hook up, or with only 50% were going to hook up. The sewer district was concerned at that time about the costs and operation and maintenance for the various projects, and so they started looking individually at the projects to see, well, does this make sense? Although Venice on the Lake it needs to be done, does it make sense to put this in terms of operation and maintenance costs as it reflects the sewer district? So we did projections on that, and we looked at if you had 50% of the connections made, That would be 189 out of the 378 would connect. We looked at 100% scenario, and we looked at an ultimate scenario. Can you go to the curve? There we go. On this first curve, this shows what you can see, like the bottom line is if you have 50% of the connections made, initially it will be barely break even. However, you can see by 2012, if you have half of the people hook up, revenues will be more than the expenses on the project. And of course, if you have 100% of people hook up, you can see the wide difference in the top two, the middle two curves. And then the very top one's the red one, and the brown at the top are the ultimate one. So the good news is with alternative one, if you only have half the people hook up, it'll be breaking even. Of course, this was 2 years after the original planning period, so in the near future on
it. Could you address for me what the definition of the ultimate bid out is?
Yes, the ultimate is about...
I mean, you've got 100% connection revenue, and then we jump up to ultimate. What does that include?
378 would be in the original 100% connection. And then if every lot ended up developing over a 20-year period...
I got you.
Which we don't think... It's undoubtedly...
In the report, we didn't do every lot either. Dennis, those lots are so small. I think we said one out of every two developed over the next however long. That would be the ultimate.
Okay.
Then the go ahead to the next alternative. Alternative two... looked at just kind of the west side of the project. And its construction cost is $8 million. And it also, this includes money to have your 242 individual connections made, whereas the other one had the total 378. We did the same scenario situation with 50% connecting and 100%. And you can see that also this one break even point is 44% of the connection for 2010, and then 2011 it's 40% of the connection. So also this project, although it's not quite as good as the first one, it will be exceeding its cost even if only half of the people hook up on it. Alternative three.
Well, before you get to alternative
three. Sure.
So what I'm looking at goes from Silver Creek on over basically to, I don't remember the name of the road that shoots up through, cuts through to 160, but goes up to, is it Elvington Subdivision?
What would basically do here is alternative one, there's a pump station up here that all of this drains to, a pump station up here that all this drains to. Basically, we've got out this pump station. But everything that could drain
at
this pump station
is
what we're serving.
And that's all by gravity, too.
This is all gravity fed on this?
Yeah, this alternative two is all gravity fed down to the one pump station, which takes it over to the Marion Woods pumping station, which then goes down into Rockaway Beach.
And all gravity fed sewer lines is the... is what the sewer board itself is trying to reach a goal of.
If possible, it's all, you know, gravity's going to be here forever. If you can potentially serve an area by gravity, we think it's all highly recommended. But with some of the topography we have here in Taney County, it's literally impossible to do it all by gravity. But alternative two, we.
Can I point something out?
Sure.
In alternative one, you'll notice that lakefront lots that are not served here
right.
In alternative two were included. Those individual lots would require pumping because they're downhill from the road and alignment that would be getting towards the lake. So there would be a handful of, if you were to serve those particular residents, you would have to.
Oh, that's right. There are a few grinder pumps in there.
But those are not included in this.
Not in this alternative.
So scenario.
They are in one, right.
Right.
Wanted to clarify that it's not 100% gravity, it's maximized gravity.
Okay.
So the, we're talking about the, went over the graph again, it's going to take 40% of the connections, 97 out of 242 for a break-even point in 2011 on that one. Alternative three is shown here in this area, and this includes almost the same as alternative number one. However, it removes some collection systems up in the outlying area. And, yeah.
Basically, this one, we took out all the grinder pumps.
Yeah,
we took out this area up here. The stuff that cost a lot to get the service to them. So the cost for the customer went up for those kind of outlined areas. So we tried to take out the real expensive areas to service as many as we could, as cheap as we could.
And in this option, again, break-even point initially is 54% of the connections have to be at 167 out of 308 need to connect. 2011, as there's some growth in the area, it drops to 49% of it. There's several options, way to proceed. The water company has agreed that they would turn off water for non-payment of bills. That's one option. That assists. There's also a new Missouri revised statute dated August 28, 2012. It allows you all to force people to connect. I previously sent this to Pat Keck, and she said she thought it was very straightforward. One option would be for the sewer district to and the county to maintain ownership of the project, rely on the water company and this statute to get people to hook up and connections. A second option is the City of Rockaway Beach has passed a resolution stating that they will take over, that they would take ownership of this facility once it's completed for operation and maintenance and be responsible for connecting and billing and the collection of said bills. Now this particular project, there's also the district and the county have previously purchased 150,000 gallons in the Rockaway Beach facility. And at the last sewer board meeting, Councilman Sims showed up from Rockaway Beach to tell the sewer board that the improvements to the wastewater treatment plant are almost complete, and they were confident they were going to be back in compliance with all requirements in the very short near future. The recommendation back in 2011 was to allow to complete the project and then allow the City of Rockaway Beach to take it over for the connections and for the O&M and billing and collecting of the project. This project does of all the projects that the county has done over the years, this one remains as one where it's obvious that the sanitary sewers in the area are very lacking, and there's been numerous reports of the failed septic tanks, and there's been people who have stated that they've seen raw wastewater entering into the waters of in the state, particularly in Tanicomo there. We would urge that the commission recommend completion of this project, as we did back in 2010.
Would you run back to the alternate number one, just for a question, curious about the layout. I'm curious up at the top where it's Highway 160, and I see that you're on the western side of the road that comes down all the way to Tanicomo. What about the subdivision that's on the right-hand side right there at the corner of 160 and the road that comes down? I can't remember the name of it. Right at the top. Right. Yes, right there. Isn't that Elmgren? I mean, there's a lot of houses right there.
Right. in here you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about below 160, right there.
I don't think there.
Unless I've got it backwards, there's way more houses on the eastern side of that road than there are on the western side. That's where the...
You're not thinking of this area, you're actually thinking...
Yeah, maybe thinking of the ones up by Redbud.
Yes. Maybe I've got that backwards. You know where I'm talking about, where the V is?
Yeah, that's this area. Right?
That's that whole area that drops down?
Right.
Because it's just a small chunk of ground right there.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of all these houses right here. If I remember that's right, it. Just the way the topo worked, we'd have to add a lift station to get them, which could be done. So it'd be a second food phase, whatever. But this lift station, what we would do is add another lift station here. Pump up into one of these, and we could eventually treat all that too.
But due to as far away as it was from Tancomo.
Okay. I can see the V that I'm looking at up at the top, right there. That's what I was thinking. That
right.
I got you.
The original project, when it was $18 million, included jumping all up in that area. But due to the distance from Tancomo, our engineering judgment was that we try to serve all these areas initially, particularly that area over on the east side. Put your hand up there, Trap. Yeah, that's a really bad area there.
How do you get your break-even numbers?
We looked at, we used the sewer district's O&M cost, actual O&M cost records from other projects, and broke down into per connection. You can see it's on, that's not in the summary that we gave you. But then we came up with the actual, here it is. It's in the reports that you all have too. We broke down, we used actual current district costs to come up with these numbers per connection and projected them forward.
When you say break even, are you talking about yearly break even cost as far as operation?
Operation and maintenance.
Operation and maintenance.
Yeah, the concern was, we put this system in, and the operation and maintenance costs are going, and we're not, let's say we put it in and we don't get, only get 50% of the people who hook up in the first year or two. And is the district going to be out a lot of money and have to raise rates? That was a big concern. So we looked at it, and if 50% of the people come up in this in these projects, they'll be breaking even. And when more people connect, then it's going to be much more in the green.
It'll be break even on the operation.
But
not on the actual project.
No,
because this cost will be paid by the sewer sales tax. And if you look at some of the current projects that the district has planned, they have a lot more pumping stations and a lot fewer connections, and their O&M costs not even close to breaking even, in my opinion. Would you agree with that, Travis?
Well, my main concern is this is one of the worst areas, and you've shown us here that it's been considered since 2000. My main concern is availability, and you've heard me argue this point. There's never going to be a hookup of any kind of anyone unless the project is built and completed, and if it's not completed in phases to allow for the availability of a hookup, and then after that project itself is viable, then you add the next phase. When this was first brought into our attention, it was a $33 million project, and that was totally that we would have had to abandon other important projects. And so my concern is availability and getting that lower side of the project at least complete enough that if someone wants to hook to a sewer and get rid of a big sewer problem, that it's there. It'll never happen unless it's there, and we've put it off way too long.
So what if they don't hook up? Then we'll pay for itself.
I'm not... Everybody pays for itself. What I'm saying is this sewer sales tax has been in effect for years.
Right.
And it was put in effect to establish those sewer lines in the ground to make it available for clean water for the citizens of Taney County and all the other areas. If there's no line put in the ground, you don't ever have to worry about it not making any money because there's no line in the ground for it to be hooked up to. And so those things are a different thought process that I have than what this thing has been approached by. The capital improvement monies that every citizen in this county that lives here has paid through the sales tax cost should make it available for them to hook up. And that's something, that's a different discussion as far as where they hook up or where they don't hook up. The availability of them to be able to is where I'm looking at.
Well, but that's like using the logic, hey, let's build a retail store in the middle of Antarctica. It's available if they want to use it, but there's not going to be anybody that's going to use it.
That's not anywhere close to that, Brandon. These are citizens that have paid the taxes for years and years and years. They have no other, they have no resource that's been available by the tax that have been imposed on them to even hook up. And I, myself, and it's just a personal deal with me, think that you have to have availability for them to hook up to consider all these other things that you're talking about.
Commissioner Williams, I've been involved in the sewer district for almost since its inception. In the very first project, there was great concerns about people hooking up. Great concerns. And we had this discussion time and time again. Currently today with the systems, Eddie told me recently they have 97% people paying their bills now. It's up to 97%. Originally they didn't think that was ever going to be the case. Now if you do, if you did alternate number two, where it's only on the lower western side, those houses are better than, in my opinion, that it's a more viable alternative. It's a more viable option than Little Northeast, because that Little Northeast area, I think, is very small lots, and it seems to be a very poor area. So if the people in phase one, if you made that alternate number two, those people will be hooking up at a larger rate than the 50%. But remember, you've got the water company, and they're providing water, and they will cut off water for those people if they don't pay their bills. So you've got that hammer if you keep it for yourself. But you can also, there's that statute, you can use that statute to force people to hook up to the system.
Well, then, well, I'm not for forcing anybody to do anything, because then it goes back to landowners' rights, and we just said...
Right.
Earlier today, we're going to have a proclamation saying we don't agree with that. But then for us to turn around and enforce something, it's hypocritical. I'm not going to do that. But anyways, I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I'm just trying to learn, is it the best use of, and if we don't know that we're going to have at least 50 people or 50% of the population sign up, why invest the $8, $10, or $12 million? And that's my question, Danny. And I understand what you're saying is you won't know until you put it in the ground. That's bad business.
Well,
and and you said you've been with us since 2000?
Oh, I've been involved with the sewer districts since 1994
or 1993. In what capacity?
We've done numerous projects for the sewer district.
Your company has.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you've had a financial benefit by being involved with the sewer?
That's correct.
Which is fine. But your best interest is your financial for your business.
Back in those days, I totally agree with you. Now I'm a property owner here in Taney County. And keeping the waters clean, I think, is very important. And we had this discussion on every project that the sewer district has done over the years. We talked about connections, and the connection rate has exceeded their worst fears on every project. So on this one, like Mr. Strahan says, we won't know until we build it, and that's the same way as on every project.
Are you willing to invest $12 million of your business's money into this project?
That wouldn't be an option for me to do, sir.
Would you, if it was an option, would you be willing to do it? Would that be good business for HDR?
To have a project like this, yes, it would be good business for us. Absolutely.
For you to invest $12 million hoping that 50% of the people would sign up?
Based on the history that we've had on other projects, I believe absolutely 50% or more would hook up.
So your business would be willing, if it was capable, of doing the infrastructure at your own
time? We don't do, you know.
I understand
okay.
that. I know
what you're saying.
That's my concern.
Yes, sir. In this discussion,
is the best money usage of the funds that we have available? And it might be Venice on the Lake.
Yeah.
It might be a project that we've never even thought about or heard of. Again, I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
Correct. And based on the priorities, that was how the money was intended to be spent. That's why they went through a master plan and came up with a priority matrix and rated the project just for that reason right there that you're talking about. Make sure that they picked the projects that were in the best interest of the county to complete. And this was at the top of the list.
Well, and that's why we put the service lines back in.
Yep.
I don't know how many of you've done with this yet. The service lines, you would actually run the service line to the property owner's septic tank within 5 feet. So for them to hook up,
it's very easy.
So, I mean, this, by adding in that cost, basically minimizes the whole.
What is the cost to hook up for that 5 feet?
Well, if they have a septic tank, they have to crush the septic tank. So, out on Lookout Acres, is anywhere from $500 to $1,000.
And looking at the demographics of Venice on the Lake, is that something that's actually viable?
I have brought that discussion up, that if you complete this project, you will probably change how that area looks over time. Now, you gentlemen will have to decide whether you think it's going to be changed for the positive or negative.
Well, part of that is when they have a failing septic system, you guys are already issuing a permit. So if the sewer's in the ground there and they come in, their septic system, you know, maybe they don't hook up the first year. 5 years down the road, their septic tank fails, they're going to spend more than $500,000.
Or pump it out on the ground.
Yeah,
well, which is what's going on right now.
Brandon, I respect what you say as a businessman, but I think that my idea of a sewer sales tax dollar that has been voted on by these various citizens and every other citizen in this county that receives sewer expects the availability of a sewer system to come through their area. Not 20 years later, not 30 years later, they don't are never to be anticipated. That is something I don't care what the person is, whether they're capable of paying for it or whether they're capable of having a not being able to hook up on it at this particular time. But for it to be available to that person if they want to hook that sewer system up. That's the way I look at this. These are tax dollars. These are not business dollars that we put into a situation to where we expect to make money.
But we're still obligated to have the best fiduciary duty with those tax dollars.
That's exactly right. But the numbers of people that pay taxes that receive no benefit whatsoever and have for 20 years or ever since the sewer district existed, then those people should have the capability, if their septic system goes down, or if they live in a subdivision and their treatment plant goes down, they should have the capability of hooking on to a sewer system. That's just the way I look at it. I don't look at it as a business proposition for me, or a business proposition for a company, or anything else. These are tax dollars that these citizens have already spent, and are going to spend in the future if we don't do something.
And if you want to look at it from that standpoint, tax dollars spent by the numbers still, the majority of the tax dollars is spent, and it's a sales tax, correct? The sewer tax fund comes from what?
Sewer sales tax.
Sewer sales tax, which is, where's the majority of those dollars come from?
Come from?
What area?
Those areas have been sewered. You can look at your list. If you look at those areas have been sewered.
Right.
And we sold those. We sold those for $100 to the city of Branson for the Bee Creek project.
I understand.
Okay.
Well, a lot of them are tourists, so it's not even people from our district.
Right.
My point is, again, I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I haven't made up an opinion on Venice on the Lake specifically. Mm-hmm. Just asking questions, trying to get information.
Well, we've got a classic, and if I can step in for just a minute. Two theories of thought that I hear since I've been on the sewer board is maybe we ought to consider just sewering those areas where it's going to be financially beneficial for the district. And then we've got the thought, maybe we ought to do what the original concept was whenever those dollars were asked to be approved by the people, and that's to clean up where the sewer problem exists. And it might not always be where it's most financially advisable for the district or the county to get involved to invest those dollars. And there has to be a happy medium somewhere. What we do realize is that all of us within the county benefit every time that we clean up an area where raw sewage is running out of the ground. It benefits all of us because then it no longer runs in the streams, no longer runs in the lake. So even though there are a number of people within the county that have not been directly served as yet, they are, in a sense, benefiting from having cleaner water, which we spoke to earlier this morning when we were in another meeting. And that's part of why our lakes are cleaner today than they were previously. This, and the reason this is here, I think, and the reason these gentlemen have brought it back is because when the matrix was formed and when the studies were done, this is one of the areas where we had one of the worst problems.
Correct.
Same was true back when the sewer district was first formed. The two areas that had the biggest problem at the time were Short Creek and Y Highway, Ozark Beach.
And Lakeshore. Short Creek and Lakeshore were first.
Well, there were three. Matter of fact, we created three sub-districts, mm-hmm. which were later thrown out for different reasons, but it was only until last year or year before that this
Highway was complete, right?
Was taken up. Even though it was one of the higher, originally at least,
it was
one of the higher projects that was on the matrix.
Yes, sir, it was below Venice on the Lake in terms of priority.
It was actually on the voting, the actual vote, the language listed those two, if I remember seeing those correctly, those two, Ozark and Y Highway.
That's where the sub-districts are formed.
Right. Oh, yeah, in sub-districts.
Whenever it's voted on by the people.
Yep.
So that's the reason I take the position I take.
My point is you both have valid points, and somewhere in between there needs to be compromises made to where we can hopefully answer problems for both sides, and both those perspectives have to be taken into account. And I appreciate your questions from the standpoint of wanting the knowledge. But where do we go from here? You're bringing us a proposal.
Well, we were requested by you all to come back and bring this up again based on discussions that other people have been having with you, especially from that area. If you guys think this is a worthy project, you could recommend that the sewer district proceeds with it. Or you could recommend to do it outside the sewer district.
Well, let's just say that a different way. When the budget comes before the county commission to be approved for the different projects, and every year the former administrator would bring those into us, mm-hmm. and we would approve those particular projects. When this comes before us next time with the new information, not the old information where we had a $33 million project, but the new information that we have, we can take a different consideration upon whether we want to add that to next year's budget or not. To add something like that to the next year's budget, that's preparation time that you have to go through all the right. the thought process about the number of tax dollars that are coming in, how the entire system is working, and all those kind of things. So I think it's very important that you brought it back to us for us to look at and to consider. And, you know, gentlemen, I live on the Bull Shoal side of the watershed. And there wasn't a project that I know of that affected the Bull Shoal side of the project of a sewer system. So that in itself was a major concern of mine when I ran for office, is to think about that. and everybody over there paid taxes just like everybody else, and my consideration, maybe that's the reason that I have such a strong feeling about that particular issue. I know of one circumstance where, Brandon, if you took what your theory is, and I'm not saying it is wrong or right. What I'm saying is if you took your theory, we was approached by an $89,000 problem and asked if the county commission would fix an $89,000 problem to sewer an area. And we ended up with $1 million project out there because it was in going to have to be done in the future. Well, that's the way I look at this. This thing here is going to have to be done sooner or later. It's going to have to be done, or we're defeating ourselves and trying to clean up the lakes and things. So that's where I'm at with it. And that, maybe that's the reason I have such a strong feeling about it.
A lot of the sewer projects, there's a number, like cost per connection. And this cost per connection is lower than some of the current projects that the sewer district is proposing to do. So if you look at the number, mm-hmm. So this one's better than those.
It's a better investment or better
from that point of view.
Standpoint.
How many homes are serviced or proposed to be serviced that are
alternative? In alternative one, we had 378. Alternative two has 242.
I'm sorry, that sits here. And I.
And alternative three.
308.
Alternative 3 had 308 connections.
And the ultimate scenario I see now in alternative 1 would be a build out to 802.
Yes.
Okay.
Part of the reason this makes sense financially, too, is that the county already owns the capacity.
Right.
You have 50,000 gallons capacity in Rockaway Beach that right now you're sending zero flow there. Normally, if you have to purchase that, you're looking at least $5 a gallon. So you're another $1 million if you had to buy the capacity that you already own.
Who's the water company out there?
Just changed hands, and I call. I've got that information, but I don't have the tip of my tongue.
It's not like
but we've talked to them. They were Nixa.
I'm curious because we have the ability to utilize that capacity.
Correct.
We were told in here in a meeting on the capacity that exists within this community, we have to have another project, even though we're utilizing about 25% of the capacity that we paid for.
That's right.
Here in the city, and it was only for the one project, and that.
The way the agreement was written, yeah.
And the capacity we weren't involved in that. Actually purchased for this project.
This was done.
Expanded, it was, your capacity was designed to be used for this.
That was the first step, as this was at the top of the priority list back then, is that the district and the county participated in the expansion of the Rockaway plant, and you do have 150,000 gallons of capacity.
And what Rockaway talked about, and of course they have a new mayor now, this may all be different. It's been a couple of years, but when they just finished their water project, they actually stubbed their water system out to this area with the hopes that if they were to take over this system, they wanted to annex it in, and I would assume connect water systems where they may end up being the water provider. But that's what they had talked about 2 years ago. But the previous mayor wanted to try to take over this system once it was built and actually annex it.
How are they going to have the ability to turn off or on if it's not annexed?
Well, they'd have to get an agreement with the water.
Right, with the water company. There's a state statute that requires the water companies to cooperate.
Brandon, do you and Danny have further questions or thoughts?
No, my only question is there's a lot to be studied yet.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things to consider yet. And just because we have a controversial statements to each other, that is progress in satisfying what needs to be learned about this total project. Not only the three phases here, but other projects that are presented to the county commission, which I figure in I think in August is when we start considering other budget proposals through, I think that's when Rick receives those through the county. And then I think in by September or so, then we'll start looking at different things. So I don't want the people to get the wrong idea from our different ideas.
Yeah, we'll still go to lunch later.
As long as he's buying lunch.
Well, I think it's your turn, actually.
But anyway, that in itself is something that is constructive instead of destructive, as trying to figure out what to do, how much to do, or if to do. So,
Mr. Williams, the next phase would be to move into design, and it would take almost a year to get the survey and design and all that information completed before you'd start construction. So construction wouldn't even take place probably until 2014 or 15. So decisions can be made in steps too.
And ultimately, you're looking from us a recommendation to the sewer board anyways.
County has, well, differing options, but that would be one of them.
Ron, I think.
We're not scheduled for input from anybody but the discussion with Mike. I'll be glad to talk with anybody out here that wants to chat, but we're not in an open forum.
Okay.
We're not in an open forum today.
Didn't say that on your minutes, your itinerary.
That we're not in an open forum. That's the way that. I'm sorry.
That's unfortunate because I have some recent information.
Thank you.
I have some questions about how the cost of marrying would be figured because.
Ron, would you like to schedule a meeting sometime? We will do that. I could do it for Thursday or Monday. I didn't know. I apologize.
Will we get glad to come back at any time to make any.
Ron, we work as a commission. If there's two commissions that would prefer to us to do business differently than what we've already agreed to, I'm willing to accept that.
We allowed people to talk this morning on the environmental service, or excuse me, on the Blue Water, White River Watershed National Blue Way Resolution. So I don't have a problem with just talking.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
You're welcome to come to the front and have comments.
Hey, Ken, after we have a two-minute recess.
Excuse me. The commission will stand in recess for 2 minutes for the elderly section, and then we'll come right back into session.